We're turning to the book of Ephesians this morning. We have been studying for the past few Sundays three life-changing commands for believers. As you well know, you who are frequent, regular attenders on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, we're working through the book of Ephesians, and I have been taking extra time on these three life-changing commands for believers. And we have already in our discussion dealt with the command concerning our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, we are not to be unwise. We are to walk circumspectly our Christian lifestyle in everyday living. When you go home this afternoon, whatever your activities are, when you go to work tomorrow or to the store or wherever you go, if you are a born-again believer, your life is to be characteristically, qualitatively different from the unbeliever. And there is a very high priority concern as a believer, and it has to do with your time. Time not as measured in the passing of seconds and minutes and hours. The word kairos used here is rather those opportunities that you would be able to recognize your opportunities to share the kingdom message and the kingdom life with other people. We are not secret believers. We are not to be silent believers. We are placed where we are, on the job, in the aspects of living that you find yourself as the salt of the earth. Salt holds back corruption. Salt preserves. Salt sometimes stings. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are to be praying that God would tune your mind to remember that your primary responsibility is not to be successful in your avocation career. Your primary responsibility is not to make money. Your primary responsibility is not to climb the ladder of success. Your primary responsibility is to please the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you say and in everything you do. And if you cannot please Him and climb that ladder of success, you don't climb it. Amen? If there are compromises and things necessary in order to climb the so-called success ladder, to get ahead, to make that extra dollar, to accomplish that goal you have, if it in any way calls for compromise of biblical principle, since the Christian life is Christ in me, it is not I or you that lives, it is Christ that lives in you, you and I are to say no to those compromises. May cost you financially. May cost you big financially. It will reap fantastic dividends, not only in the world to come, but here and now, with a clear conscience, with the blessing of the Lord. And He is one who with His blessing He makes rich. And riches are not necessarily dollars and cents, nor even primarily dollars and cents. They're peace and joy and security, knowing that God is in charge in your life. Amen? You're praying, therefore, every day, Lord, help me to know who I should smile at, who I should go out of my way, stop my thinking processes as I'm meditating. Somebody came by and said hi to me. Am I to grunt and not look up? Or is that an opportunity to look up and say, Hi, Susan. Hi, Joe. How are you? Good to see you, with a smile and interest. It may be that they have a burdened heart. It may be they feel no one loves them. It may feel like that life is not worth living. And those opportunities, a smile, you're praying. Is this a time somebody says, well, how in the world did you ever figure that out? Oh, I want to tell you, God helped me. It's just the Lord. Just help. It's something just clicked, and I praise His name for it. Instead of taking the pats on the back and the kudos, you know, the applause, and in all of the, well, you know, this is just brains up here, folks. Why not give the credit to whom credit is due? It's God who equipped you and who helped the various functionings to come. All right. The reason given, the days are evil. Then we dealt with the subject of God's will. Pursue it. Pursue it daily. It's to be something that is in your thoughts regularly. Oh God, I will to do your will. Now there are some things that I know are your will, and therefore I choose to submit and obey that. I know that it's your will that we be saved and spirit-filled and sanctified. That means separated from known sin. I know it's your will that I be submissive. I know it is your will that I suffer, and therefore I'm not going to be surprised at adversity. I know 1 Peter 5:10 says that the way to be established, made strong, mature, settled, is after I suffer a while. And I reminded you, I did a careful search on that phrase, after you suffer a while. I wanted to know exactly how long you got to put up with it. And I found out biblically, just until you die. Okay? And there you have it. That biblically, your life is only a little while. It's but a span. It's like the grass. It's like a vapor. That if your whole life, God allows a certain adversity. Paul calls it, for him, a thorn in the flesh. For you, you call it a husband. No, you don't call it a wife. You don't call it a, you know, you maybe call it an employer. You may call it something else. God wants you to have the proper perspective to understand that He wants to change your attitude. There is the concept, you do not change other people by attacking them. You can only effect change in others by changing yourself, and they change in response to the change they see in you. Isn't that what the Christian message is all about? And therefore, if you're having a problem with someone and you say, oh, Lord, how much longer must I suffer? The Lord is maybe saying to you this morning that your focus has been on the wrong direction. You need to focus inwardly and say, Father, you said that when our ways please the Lord, you make even our enemies to be at peace with us. And maybe you've raised up some enemies and some problems and some adversities and some real difficulties because there are some things in my own life that are not totally submitted to God, and therefore I brought the suffering on. And when I change and when I develop that attitude of submissiveness to what God wants in my life, then He's free to move those problems out of my life. Or to change those problems. It's His will that we offer sacrificial praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's something that all of us need to realize. This is God's will. And therefore, concerning God's will, we are to pursue it. We are to do it. And you're thinking you must be transformed by obedience. Now, that was by way of review. We're coming to the passage that we've been focusing on now, and I want to continue focusing on until it is absolutely not only mentally a close friend as far as information goes. I understand. I now perceive this. but that every one of us personally appropriate and experience the life described in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Let's look at those passages, please. This is the third command. Be not drunk with wine. I'm reading Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He makes a comparison in this verse, folk, that when you are drunk, there are some things that are true. When a person is drunk with alcohol, they are under the power. Their life is under the influence of that alcohol. They become fervent in their attitude. They become affected in their speech and singing. Their walk is affected. And God says, I don't want you under the power of alcohol, but I want you in comparison under the power, the changing, controlling, influencing, dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled. And that is a present imperative that signifies, it's a present participle that signifies be continually not only filled once, but keep filled with the Spirit. What is the difference between alcohol-filled and Spirit-filled? In drunkenness, that's as a result of self-indulgence. I want to, I choose to imbibe. I want to because for various reasons. It makes me feel good, so I think. It makes me forget. It makes me relax. It's self-centered. I, me, myself, and I. In the Spirit-filled life, it is not self-centered. It is the Holy Spirit-centered, and now it is you're able to control yourself because the Holy Spirit is filling you and empowering you to not go on self-pity parties, not go on self-rights. I demand my rights. You're not going to treat me that way. I am a human being. I demand that you respect me. I demand this. I demand that. If you don't, I'm going to get angry at you. I may raise my voice at you if that's your personality. I may hold a grudge. I may say angry things, unkind things. All of that self-indulgence. None of that is Spirit-filled activity. God says we are to be Spirit-filled. And when we are filled with the Spirit, there are going to be some characteristic changes that will be demonstrable in our life. I can spot people who are drunk. There are some people who are able to conduct their physical body a bit differently and a bit more, quote, normal than other people, but you don't have to be around them long to look at their face, to listen to their thinking processes, to be perceptive in this area, and you, if you know what the symptoms are, you can spot it. And folk, God wants us as Spirit-filled Christians to remember that this is not optional equipment. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit is a command. It's in the plural, which means it's available for all believers. It is to be appropriated by faith like the rest of the commands of God. Now, what areas are going to be affected? In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Your music, your desire for music, the radio station, you'll no longer be listening to country western music. You'll no longer be listening to rock and roll. You'll no longer be listening to this pop music which has words, which talks about immoral, illicit relationships, which talks about things that are impure, because the Spirit will not allow you to use your ears for that activity. And you say, well, Brother Brown, I like country western music. I like rock music. I like lyrics of the pop music that talk about dancing, that talk about hugging, that talk about that other woman, that talk about immorality, just as if it's the normal thing of life. This is why you need to be Spirit-filled, so that even as a Christian, you can submit to the command of God and find the power to get past that station and not constantly be doing it and then feeling guilty and repenting. And Lord, I'm sorry, I know, and getting convicted from time to time. The Spirit-filled life will empower you until your focus is, I want to sing and accompany myself and surround myself with what God says my life is to be characterized by. And I tell you what, it certainly is different from the world, isn't it? How many people in the world do you know that continually listen to WRMB? What other station can you get up here that has Christian music continually? I don't, maybe one if you have a super antenna from down in Miami, but I don't have the super antenna. And consequently, what happens? We get in our cars and immediately on goes the radio, and what are we listening to? We're listening to the music of the world. And we wonder why there's no power. We wonder why there's no effulgent glory coming from our life that's having a dynamic impact on others without us saying a word. It's because we've watered down Christianity to the level of the least objectionable things that the world has to offer. And we filter through all that the world has to offer and take the least objectionable, when the Bible says our life, if we are filled with the Spirit, will be characterized by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And notice that the focus is making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. And folk, I want to tell you something here. The Holy Spirit is a person. Twyla, I'm sorry I got you sitting there so long. I just want to pray now. Let's just pray now and ask God's blessing on the Word. Our Father, you hear the thoughts of each of us this morning. You know our reactions. There's a lot of things we don't like. And that's because we're conformed to this world in so many areas of our thinking. We look at verses like this and say, oh, how absurd is this? You mean this is all? And yet, this is what you have said our life is to be characterized by. Father, as Americans, with so much available around us, so much to choose from, we find it very hard to submit to your word. We feel like it's going to be a straitjacket. It's going to be restrictive, oppressive. It's going to be the pits. It's going to be legalism. But Lord Jesus, may we understand that your commands are not legalistic. Your commands are authoritative. And you mean what you say. And this is where the struggle comes in our life. We don't want to die to self. We want our opinions. We want our wishes, our desires. We want your blessing and presence with that. And consequently, the inward war rages. we find ourselves being defeated time and time again. That's not your plan for the Christian life. I pray that you would open our eyes as we continue a discussion of your word, that we would see that you mean what you say what you mean, and you want your way in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Folk, as we look at this, there is something within us that kicks against coming under the authority of God. Is there not? You know what that is? That's carnality. That's self. And this is why Paul wrote to believers who had been born again and been given newness of life and told them it is absolutely indispensable that you be filled with the Spirit. This does not take place at salvation. You are indwelt by the Spirit at salvation. It is the Holy Spirit who imparts that newness of life. But that is not the same as being filled with His Spirit. For when you are filled with His Spirit, He has 100% control over every area, attitude, appetite of our life. And who of us like that? And that's why old-time preachers, even Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Wesleyan, Congregational, the old-time preachers who knew well the Word of God and didn't water it down to fit 20th century Americanism, would talk about the death route. The death route that believers experienced as they submitted totally to the control of the Holy Spirit, and as they were brought to that place of total submission, they found that there was something within them that rebelled at the concept. And that's why they called it a death route, because it was difficult. It was a struggle. And when you read Romans 6, mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh. When you read the statements of Jesus, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That cross was not some pretty thing to put up on the wall or to wear around your neck. It was a nasty way of death. And we're not talking about self-dying because you are yourself. We are talking about a death to self, that whenever your will comes in conflict with God's Word, which is His will, that you say no to your will and yes to His. And folk, let me tell you what I have discovered as I have thought. I used to react strongly against the death route. Until God, Holy Spirit, was dealing with me in permissible areas wherein I felt that He had no right to deal with me. Because after all, there are some just neutral areas that God shouldn't be even concerned about in your life. Aren't there? And I'd already made my restitutions, agonized over that, gone back and asked people to forgive me and got my conscience clear and was endeavoring to keep a conscience void of offense. But now God's Holy Spirit is coming to say, I want you to change in this area, and I can number any number of Christians who do this. And Lord, why in the world should you say no to me when everybody else can? And God says, 2 Corinthians 10:12, he that compares himself among himself or measures themselves by themselves is not wise, and you dare not do that. And Brown, get your eyes off of other people and come under the submission of the Holy Spirit. my working in your life. And I said, if I do that, I will no longer be able to tell whether it's the devil, whether it's me, whether it's just some impression, or whether it's you. And I'm not under law, but I'm under grace. And I'm not going to be given the spirit of bondage to fear. I've given the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. And I don't want to go into straitjacket legalistic Christianity. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, son, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. It's not legalistic, and my burden is light, but you've got to settle who's in charge in your life. And I said, Lord, you're in charge, except for these legitimate areas. I like certain music that doesn't fit those criteria. And after all, if I don't know the lyrics and the music is pretty, what's wrong? Well, there may be nothing wrong. There may be nothing wrong. Do you hear that? There may be nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. But the question is, if God says to you, I don't want you listening to WESC. And I'm not picking on WESC. I hope no WESC people are here. And this tape is going out. Pardon me, WESC. No reflection on WESC as such. You understand? But I'm just giving an illustration. If God says to me, if he says to you, son, daughter, I would prefer you to listen to this channel, and I want you to get rid of those tapes, and I want you to listen to the cathedrals or whoever, you know, something that has psalms or hymns or spiritual songs that lifts up Jesus Christ. And I want you to surround, because you have a propensity for the environment of the world, son, and you need to build against that weakness in your own life. Others may, but you can't. And, you know, we don't like that, do we? Do we like that? And that's what people call the death route, dying to self, until you come to that place of total surrender. And let me tell you something, it's not a just one-time activity, folk. When Paul says in Romans 12:2, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, you who know Jesus, to present your bodies, my body, a living sacrifice. The imagery is me getting on the altar of God, and saying, now, Lord, here I am. Now, what am I, and what makes me up? I have plans, I have desires, I have a personality, I have motives, I have a self-image, a self-concept. I need praise and applaud, and I want to do this, and I want to go there, and I want to have fun, and I want to enjoy this, and I want to do that, and I want to be all of those things. That's me. That's you. My will, my way, my ambition, my desire. I've got to put them on that altar and say, Lord, anything you want to change, anything you want to redirect, anything you want to cancel out, anything you want to do, here I am. My time, my talent, my money, my future, my family, my pleasures, me, here I am. And I tell you what, folk, the Holy Spirit says, fine. And there comes a place where you make that commitment. But let me tell you something, folk. This is the prerequisite to having the filling of God's Spirit. You cannot be filled and stay full until you have totally surrendered, because you must submit totally to God. I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now I remember well when I made that commitment. But I also remember how that, because I didn't maintain that commitment. Now, did you catch that? Because I didn't maintain that commitment, I found myself backing off and rationalizing. Now, Lord, you know everything's yours, and you know it's all committed, Lord, but you know I'm human, and you understand, and there's nothing really wrong with this, but the Holy Spirit was dealing me, and that spoke in the legitimate areas of life where I have found personally the battle has come in my life. It's in the totally legitimate areas of life where the Holy Spirit wants to bring change that I have resisted and kicked against it all the while, saying, now, Lord, I'm 100% surrendered because I don't mean to clench my fist. I don't mean to do that. And I don't mean to do this. But what are you doing? If you're not 100% surrendered, what are you doing? It's like coming to the Lord. For his love and putting your back to him, right? I know some little children who haven't learned the accepted way to hug, okay? I don't suppose who said you had to hug somebody with your face toward them, right? I don't know who made that rule up. It just seems nicer. And I knew a little child, when I wanted to give them a hug, they'd come and be hugged, and they would come up and turn around and lean against you and let you hug them. No hugs in return. And a lot of us are like that spiritually. We want God's hugs. We want his security. We want his blessing. We want his benefits and our backs to him. We are not willing to turn around, face open, eye to eye, face to face, with a totally clear conscience and say, Lord, whatever you will, I will. And let me tell you something. You have to maintain that. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus praying, terribly praying? He prayed, and he concluded that prayer with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He gets up and he comes back and he finds his disciples asleep. And he says, what, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. And what in the world does Jesus go back and pray the second time, saying the same words? I thought he settled it. I thought it was easy from then on out. No. There must be that maintenance of a surrendered heart, folk. And so he goes back and prays a second time. And he agonizes with God, and he concludes again, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And he comes the second time and finds them asleep. And he goes and prays the third time. Now, folk, what is Jesus doing? He is maintaining that total submissiveness to the will of God. And that's what's necessary to be continuously filled with His Spirit. Where are you this morning? I seriously searched my heart after the messages of last Sunday. And I preached them. But the Holy Spirit preached them to me. And folk, this is God's Word. And as we continue on this theme, and I want you to see more and more, this is God's process. This is God's purpose. And folk, this is the only way you're going to be able to develop and find the motivation for a thankful life and a submitting life and have the power to victoriously be what you ought to be and what God's Word says you can be, and to be able to claim those promises in a non-up-and-down manner, in a non-continually confessing this sin, and Lord, I messed up again. I told you I was sorry, and I promised you with your help I wouldn't do it again, and here I am again. So many Christians find that is their lot, where they're continually having to confess and make things right, and God, the Holy Spirit, wants to empower us. So I went home after service. I don't know what you did Sunday. A lot of you raised your hand that I recognize I have need in this area, you said. And God bless you. I'm not trying to have anyone throw away a bit of faith, a bit of confidence. I don't want any of you to question your walk with God. I'm talking about, are you fully, fully surrendered? I went home and I put some things on the altar that I knew were not on the altar. And I'm ashamed to say that. But folks, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to preach something to you I'm not willing to live. Okay? I'm talking about the book. And what's good for you is good for me. Amen? And it should start right here. And then flow out this way. And I asked God to forgive me for pulling some things off. I didn't maintain that surrendered walk with God. I did not. I was convincing myself I had, but I was trying to fool myself. I didn't have the power in certain areas of my life. I didn't have self-control in certain areas. It distressed me greatly, and I prayed for victory, and I claimed the promises, and I could stand on them all day long, standing on the promises, but as long as I hadn't taken my hands off, I was losing the battle. And I'm not telling you that this week has been a sweet week of peace and rest. I'm not telling you that. It's been a week of total surrenderedness. It's been a week where my conscience is void of offense, thanks be to God. And it's been a week wherein I have been frustrated by temptations and torments of my mind and of the devil to, oh, come on, Brown, let's not get heavy duty here and get over the deep edge. Let's not take this thing too far. You know, Brian, you don't want to be too hard on yourself. And I never have wanted to be too hard on me. Have you wanted to be too hard on you? Much easier and more fun being hard on the other guy. Right? And the Lord knows that I don't have danger of going overboard for long. For long. The Lord knows that my problem is staying right on the track. And folk, I'm urging you to please make this a matter of prayer. If you are 100% submitted and yielded and walking in all the light, maintain that, because the devil will come along like he did to Jesus and challenge your will versus his. And if you are, then God is bringing these characteristics to fruition in your life. It's affecting your speaking, your singing, your thanksgiving, your submitting attitude in these verses. Your life is developing fruit in those areas. And if you're not developing fruit in those areas, it's symptomatic that you're not fully filled with the Spirit. And what would Christians want more than the promise of the Father to be filled with His Spirit, to have the dynamic power to be able to not only see those promises and strive for those promises, but through the grace of God to experience daily the fruition and the fruit of those promises. And let me tell you something. This is Sunday again. And my commitment is the same as it was Monday. And I was talking to my wife and I said, honey, here I am 100% committed and yielded and I'm stressed out. Now that's not God's will. I'm like a lion in a cage. I want to go do this. And God said, no, no. And I want to do that. No, no. Only two or three things, but you know how our minds are and you know how the devil, that's your whole world suddenly. The 1,000 and the 10,000 things you can do, you don't even think about. And you only focus in on the things God has said submit to. And so I submit and that's all I can see. So iron bars around me, you know. Here's the iron bars around me. All I can read now is my Bible, you know. That's absurd. That's not true at all. I have 3,000 volumes of Christian literature that God says, I gave you these books, Brown. Your teacher, read them. And I say, no fun. Work. Read those. That's like job. I want fun. And God says, yeah, that's the problem with you, Brown. Fun-loving guy. Fun. Reward. Yeah, you deserve it. And you end up grieving me. You know what God has for me? He has peace that passeth all understanding. He has joy like a fountain and peace like a river. And he is the Prince of Peace. And I'm right now going through withdrawals. You know what withdrawals are? And folk, if you commit 100% today, feel some camaraderie in withdrawals. But I tell you what, God's word never fails. And if I will stay 100% filled with that Spirit and keep filled, his promises are going. He didn't say, what was the time frame? What was the time frame that if you do what I say, I will suddenly give you all this peace and joy? When did he say that's going to happen? Did he put a minute and an hour on it? No, and there have been times this week I have been blessed beyond measure. Absolutely. I just want it 24 hours a day. You see, self-indulgence again, right? I want to be high on Jesus all the time. I want to feel good in my soul all the time. And you do too. But God knows what we need, doesn't he? He knows what we need. I'm asking you to stand with me this morning for prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to each of us. With our whole heart, we embrace your truth. We bring our mind, our body, our spirits under the authority of your word and your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would kindle a thirst, a hunger for your filling in every believer here. Those who are not already filled. You said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many this morning, so I can pray with you and for you. Dr. Brown, God's talked to my heart this morning, and I know I'm not 100% submitted, but I want to be. I know I must be. And by God's grace, I'm going to be. And as he helps me, I'm going to make the necessary adjustments in my life so that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm 100% filled. How many feel that sense of need and would pledge yourself to that? Raise your hand. Anywhere? God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Many, many hands. Father, you've laid this truth on my heart so heavily. You wanted me to be the example as pastor. Forgive me, Lord, and I ask you as a congregation to forgive me for failing you. By God's grace, Lord, I pray that we as a church would not go into fanaticism, not on some tangent, but the Holy Spirit is not fanatical. He is
the personification of Jesus. You said he'll not speak of himself, but he'll take my things and show them unto you. And so we're talking about in the Spirit-filled life being more and more and more like Jesus in every way. May none of us fear that. Father, those that raised their hands this morning, I pray you'd quicken a hunger and a thirst to their hearts. That soon, maybe today, why not today, that they would be able to say no to the things that hinder them, and that they might know once again that maybe they've never experienced, maybe they have, but they've gone back on their commitment, that you would be 100% Lord of all, and that the Holy Spirit would fill and empower to be able to choose the right music and choose the right attitudes of praise and to be what you want us to be. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Oh God, you've been so good. You've blessed, you've helped, you've worked so many wonderful miracles in our midst. Salvation, healing of bodies, financial help, emotional, mental guidance and strength and reassurance. You've done so much for us. We praise you. And now, Lord, we ask that you would continue that good work you've begun in us, even till the day of Christ. And grant that there would be no pullback. And those of us that you have so clearly spoken to, we want to be all that your grace, your power, your blood can make us. Again, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, are there those here that would say, Brother Brown, I know I'm not where I should be spiritually. I don't have a clear assurance of my salvation. And I'm concerned about my own spiritual need, and I want to be remembered in prayer. You'd not be ashamed to signify that need by an upraised hand. Anyone here this morning not sure of your salvation? You want to be remembered in prayer. Father, thank you so much. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, is our prayer. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Please remain standing.